90 degrees up. So, 200 feet up. 32 feet up.
Yeah,
213
to 222.
Okay. The chin of the Lord, tinged with buff color, conquered the beauty of the Banduli flower. This increased the beauty of his mild smiling, which was like lustrous waves of nectar. Okay, 214, everyone together. Sri Mukha Sundara Kanti Pare Shane Shane Koti Bhakta Nectra Bunda Kare Madhupane. The luster of his beautiful face increased at every moment, and the eyes of hundreds and thousands of devotees drank its honey like bumblebees. Oh yeah, okay. It's drunk its honey like bumblebees. Okay, text 215. this one responsibly. Yata pie tata trishna pare niranta. Mukambuja chadi netra na yaya antara. Yata pie tata trishna pare nirantar. Mukambuja chadi netra na yaya antar. Yata pie tata trishna bade nirantar. Mukambuja chadi netra nayaya antar. Anyone else? Everyone. Someone else. All right, nobody. Yata, as much. Pie, they drink. Tata, so much. Krishna, thirst. Pade, increases. Nirantara, incessantly. Mukha Ambuja, the lotus-like face. Chadi, giving up. Netra, the eyes. Na, do not. Yaya, go. Antara, separate. Translation. As their eyes began to drink the nectarian honey of his lotus face, their thirst increased. Thus their eyes did not leave him. Please repeat. As their eyes began to drink the nectarian honey of his lotus face, their thirst increased. Thus their eyes did not leave him. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. In the Lagu Bhagavatamrita 15538, Srila Rupa Goswami has described the beauty of the Lord in this way. Asama Nordva Madhurya Tarangamrita Varidi Jangama Stavarolasi Rupo Gopendra Nandana. The beauty of the son of Maharaj Nanda is incomparable. Nothing is higher than his beauty, and nothing can equal it. His beauty is like waves in an ocean of nectar. This beauty is attractive both for moving and for non-moving objects. Similarly, in the Tantra Shastra, there is another description of the Lord's beauty. Kandapakotya Buddha Rupa Shobha Niraja... That's the wrong meter. Kandapakotya Buddha Rupa Shobha Niraja Padabja Nakam Chalasya Kutrapya Drista Shutaramya Kanta Jnanam Param Nanda Sutasya Vakshe. I shall relate the supreme meditation upon Lord Sri Krishna, the son of Nanda Maharaj. The tips of the toes of his lotus feet reflect the beauty of the bodies of unlimited millions of cupids, and his bodily luster has never been seen or heard of anywhere. One may also consult Srimad Bhagavatam 10:29:14 in this connection. So we'll just keep going till the end of the chapter, then I'll try to say something. Everyone together. Emata Mahaprabhu Lana Bhattagana Madhyana Paryantakaila Shimukha Darasana. Thus Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his devotees enjoyed transcendental bliss upon seeing the face of Jagannath. This continued to midday. Everyone together. Sveda Kampa Ashu Jala Vahisavasana Dashanera Lobe Prabhu Kare Sambhayana. As usual, there were transcendental blissful symptoms in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's body. He perspired and trembled, and a constant flow of tears fell from his eyes. However, the Lord checked these tears so that they would not disturb his seeing the face of the Lord. Madhye madhye boga lage madhye darashana bogera samaye prabhu karena kirtana. Their looking at the face of Lord Jagannath was interrupted only when he was offered food. Afterwards, they would again look upon his face. When the food was being offered to the Lord, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu performed his kirtan. Dashana Anande Prabhu Sava Parashila Bhaktagana Madhyana Karite Prabhu Nagela. Feeling such great pleasure upon seeing the face of Lord Jagannath, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu forgot everything. The devotees, however, took him to his lunch at noontime. Prata kale rata yatra habeka janiya sevaka lagaya boga tikuna kariya. Knowing that the car festival would take place in the morning, All the servants of Lord Jagannath were doubling their offerings of food. Gundicha Marjanalila Sankshepe Kahila Yaya Dekeshuni Papira Krishna Bhakti Haila. I have briefly described the pastimes of the Lord in washing and cleansing the Gundicha temple. By seeing or hearing these pastimes, even sinful men can awaken their Krishna consciousness. Sri Rupa Raghunatha Pade Yara Asha Chaitanya Charitamrita Kaya Krishna Dasa. Praying at the lotus feet of Sri Rupa and Sri Raghunath, always desiring their mercy, I, Krishna Das, narrate Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, following in their footsteps. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta purports to the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Leela, Chapter 12, describing the washing and cleansing of the Gundicha temple. So now, try to say something. I'll repeat text 215 again. As their eyes began to drink the nectar and honey of his lotus face, their thirst increased, thus their eyes did not leave him. So this, in the purport here, Srila Prabhupada has mentioned different descriptions of the Lord's beauty, and the Lord's beauty is practically indescribable, but many great devotees have helped us try to understand the Lord's beauty by writing wonderful literatures about his form and beauty. And so the Vedas really culminate in descriptions of Krishna's beauty and Krishna's pastimes and activities. And this is really the supreme pinnacle of knowledge, is to know about Krishna and his beauty. But his beauty is also reflected in his devotees. And his devotees, they are also very beautiful. Their mood of surrender is very beautiful, and their humility, because they know that Krishna is incomparable and that Krishna is so great, and they feel so inferior in comparison to Krishna that they manifest all these wonderful symptoms of humility. So, for instance, when Rupa Goswami and his brother Anupam came to see Lord Chaitanya, they had clumps of straw in their mouth and they didn't want to go near to Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya was discussing with Balabhata, and so they felt very inferior, although of course you really can't get much more elevated than Rupa Goswami being a Manjari. But the mood of the devotees is always humility, because Krishna's humble himself. That Krishna, he also washed the feet of all the guests at the Rajasuya sacrifice, and he took Sudama's foot bathing water on his head and sprayed it on his queen's. So he shows a mood of humility, because that is the proper etiquette. And these great devotees, who are practically incomparable, they also manifest this mood of humility. And when Balabhat approached Rupa Goswami, he said, "No, please don't touch me. I'm just a sinful man." So this is because Krishna is so great, it inspires humility in his followers. And that's why it's very important to read about the activities of the great devotees. But by hearing about the activities and the symptoms of great devotees, we automatically feel humbled by their activities, just by hearing how the six Goswamis were so austere. They weren't artificially austere. They were austere because they had no interest in eating and sleeping and mating and defending. They were only interested in writing transcendental literatures describing the glories of Krishna for the benefit of the living entities, as is described in the prayer to the six Goswamis, that they wrote these books to pour nectar on the heads of the fallen living entities. So Rupa and Sanatana Goswami, they wrote so many books, but still their humility was so great. For instance, when Sanatana Goswami went to see Lord Chaitanya in Jagannath Puri, he felt so ashamed that his body had these sores. And of course, Lord Chaitanya didn't see them practically. He embraced him anyway. But Sanatana Goswami felt so embarrassed that the Lord would embrace him. So, but Balabhadra, when he met Rupa Goswami, he was very surprised. Lord Chaitanya, he said, don't touch him because he belongs to a very low caste. Of course, you know, Rupa Goswami, he's the leader of the Vaishnavas, but he was acting in this position just so that Lord Chaitanya could glorify his humility and show Balabhadra what a real devotee is. Of course, Balabhadra is a great devotee, but at the same time, it's described that he wasn't really on the same level as the Goswamis. Balabhadra, it was said that when he was in the company of the intimate associates of the Lord, that he was like a duck in the company of swans. And Balabhadra, we know Balabhadra is also a great devotee, but compared to Rupa and Sanatan, he wasn't really on their level at all. But he has many followers. But when Lord Chaitanya told Balabhadra, don't touch him, he's from a very low caste, then Balabhadra, he thought, well, how can he be from a very low caste? Because he's chanting Hare Krishna. And it said, Aho bhata swapa chato garyanya jiva gri bhata janama tubhyam te pustapaste jahavushna shu arya. What's the last one? Huh? Brahmanachur. Anyway, it said by Lord Kapila or Devahuti, how glorious are those whose tongues are decorated with the holy name. Because it is considered that even if they're from a family of dog eaters, that they are the most exalted. They have already performed the equivalent of thousands of horse sacrifices. They've bathed in all the holy rivers. They've done major austerities and sacrifices. So Balabhadra was thinking, well, he's not sinful. He's chanting the holy name. But it was just the drama that Lord Chaitanya was trying to create in order to help Balabhadra see what great devotees that they were. So so devotees, you know, we just to really understand the beauty of Krishna, we have to follow in the footsteps of Lord Chaitanya's followers. So specifically the six Goswamis, that Rupa Goswami is the leader of the Goswamis, and we're all trying to follow in Rupa Goswami's footsteps. And so Rupa Goswami, Sanatana Goswami, had this incredible mood of humility, which is really a prerequisite for understanding the beauty of Krishna. Krishna's beauty is attracting every living entity one way or another. We're either attracted to his material energy, or we're attracted to his spiritual energy. His material energy alone is bewildering the minds of everyone in the material world. Everyone in this material world is under the illusion that there is some enjoyment in this world. And of course we know that the attraction between male and female is the basic principle of material life. So on the basis of this attraction, people are dedicating their lives to live, as Lord Chaitanya explained, like worms in stool. Even his Raghunath Das Goswami's uncles were great, very charitable to Brahmins. They knew Vedic principles, but because they were still entangled with their families and their money, Lord Chaitanya said they were like worms in stool. So, everyone in the material world is under the sway of Krishna's Maya potency. And this is very hard to overcome because, you know, the female pig is attracted to male pig, and, you know, the peacock is attracted to the peahen. So this is going on, and it's bewildering everybody. That's in the material world. And sometimes people see nature. Nature is so beautiful, so well designed, beautiful sunset, beautiful clouds, beautiful animals, beautiful trees, and their minds think that this world is wonderful. But we have to remember that this world is Matsyaloka, and that the spiritual world where we're trying to go is the real world. And in the spiritual world, we can imagine how beautiful it is. If the material world has so much beauty, the spiritual world must be unlimitedly times more beautiful. And the center of attraction, the highest planet in the spiritual world, is Goloka Vrindavan. And everyone is in love with Krishna. And it's very well organized in the spiritual world. All of Krishna's associates, they all have their place. The verse that I thought I was giving class on, you know, it describes how one should be very careful not to become familiar with the deity or with the spiritual master. So there are certain devotees who have very intimate relationships with Krishna, like of course Radharani herself, but Lalita, Vishakha. And then there are so many different groups of gopis which are described elaborately by Rupa Goswami, Ujjvala Nilamani. And then Bhaktivinoda Thakur in the Jiva Dhamma, which Prabhupada said we should read if we want to know the science of Krishna consciousness, that Jiva Dhamma describes all these different groups of gopis and how some of them are dearer than others, and just everyone has their position. But it's all based on serving Krishna, because Krishna is the central figure in everybody's life. And even if you have a distant relationship from Krishna, you're not directly, you might be boiling milk to give to Lalita so that Lalita can offer it to Radharani. But however distant your relationship is, you have a personal relationship with Krishna. But there's the etiquette to follow. And the etiquette has to be observed, because some devotees, they're more dear to Krishna. In the Sharata Darshani, it's described in one of the purports how Tulsi is very dear to Krishna. Tulsi is very dear to Krishna because she has performed so many austerities that nobody else can understand. Only Krishna knows how many austerities Tulsi Devi has performed. So, the more intimate Krishna's devotees are, the more austerities they've performed to please Krishna. Just like here we have Katyayani Vrat. So, that's a very austere undertaking by the young girls of Vrindavan. Very austere. And so, austerity for spreading Krishna consciousness is actually the best way to please Krishna and the best way to appreciate Krishna's beauty. Because then you get the reward. It's not that I have it, but one is able to relish the descriptions. As Narottam Das Thakur, he says, when will I be eager to study the books of the six Goswamis? This is something we should aspire for, to be enthusiastic to read books describing Krishna's beauty. So Krishna's beauty, it may not be very apparent to some of us like me. You know, I can read about it and I can think about it, but to constantly remember Krishna's beauty throughout the day, it eludes me. But we can relate to Krishna in different levels. Like for somebody who is just becoming a devotee, they can relate to Krishna's beauty in the form of prasadam. Krishna's beauty is available in so many different ways. Prasadam, and then the deity, of course. Krishna's personally there in the form of the deity, but at the same time, when Srila Prabhupada was in New Dwarka, he told the devotees to not try to have too familiar of a relationship with the deities, that they should worship then in the mood of Rukmini Dwarkadish, not in the mood of spontaneous love. Because familiarity breeds contempt. So we have to be very respectful in any position, but presumably when one reaches a certain stage, then one's attraction and love becomes so spontaneous that the formalities of etiquette are diminished. So we can relish Krishna's beauty in the form of prasadam, the holy name, the kirtan, or at least theoretically, even if we don't have a taste for chanting, which I don't really. But if we, no, I don't. But we know theoretically that chanting is the essence of all Krishna consciousness, is to chant Hare Krishna. So theoretically we know that Krishna's name is full of nectar. But to get to that point where we're crying and completely loving chanting, that is a very elevated stage. But it requires patience. So we have these crutches. They're not exactly crutches, but they're transcendental crutches, like reading the scriptures, seeing the deity. Personally, I get a lot of satisfaction out of going out preaching. You get the higher taste, as Lord Chaitanya said, that when we go out preaching, gives a taste for which we're always anxious. So somehow or other we have to maintain ourselves in Krishna consciousness, and gradually, by hearing about Krishna and by serving Krishna, we will ultimately come to understand more and more how beautiful Krishna is. Hare Krishna. So please, if you have any reflections or comments or corrections, speak now or forever hold your peace. Yes.
When you're mentioning all the beautiful things to, like Prasadam, I was thinking the deities, because today's verses was Lord Chaitanya looking at Lord Jagannath.
Uh-huh.
And a lot of times when I look at the deities, I don't have such a purified heart, but I see the inspiration that Prabhupada has given in the devotees. That's what I kind of see, such an incredible hope and
inspiration. The inspiration in the devotees to decorate the deities, you mean? Yeah,
absolutely. I don't have that kind of nature, but I see such wonderful qualities coming
from the devotees
doing, working so hard.
Well, when I'll just add something to that. When Janani Bas and what's his name, Pankajangri, they went to Mayapur in 1972. They're from London. And when, you know, Prabhupada asked them to stay in Mayapur and serve the deity, and Prabhupada said the deity was God. So they said, okay, if the deity is God, I'm going to stay here and I'm going to do the puja. And, you know, they never left for 40 years or something. Tamaru. Yeah.
Krishna, thank you. I really appreciated your point about how we should be, you know, striving for and looking for and trying to appreciate Krishna's beauty and the higher aspects of Krishna consciousness, and at the same time realizing we're not yet at that level. I was thinking in the Bhaktisamrita Sindhu, Rupa Goswami explains, and I can't remember the two Sanskrit terms, I'd have to look up the reference, but he was saying about that, you know, in higher stages like bhava, you know, we appreciate Krishna's beauty, his pastimes, and like that. And that's the basis of our attachment and attraction. They said in the beginning stages of sadhana, then our attachment and our attraction becomes through service. So I think that's a lot like what you were saying, that through our service to Prabhupada, to our guru, to the movement, then we still maintain that attachment and being able to think about, meditate upon Krishna in that way through service.
Yeah, our service is, you know, the service, if we didn't have a service, we couldn't really appreciate Krishna's beauty, because, you know, to really appreciate Krishna's beauty, we have to become purified, and by performing devotional service, we become purified. So, yeah, thank you very much for that. Hare Krishna. Ramya Prabhu.
A quick question. You know, like in my condition, you really don't have a qualification for, you know, like you say, meditating on Krishna's beauty and pastimes. But yet, when you hear about and read them, they're very beautiful and very attractive. So how do you balance that? Like, you're not qualified, but then there's something beautiful there.
Well, by reading them, you become qualified. It's just like in that verse, there's a famous Rajabhadabhir, Idam Hibishnan, says that by hearing about the pastimes, by hearing about Krishna's loving dealings with the gopis, even people who have lusty desires become purified, and they develop, and they gradually become qualified. So just by hearing, that's a famous verse, I can't remember the beginning, but it's a famous verse, Prabhupada quotes it, that just by hearing about Krishna's pastimes, as long as we don't get disturbed by lust or anything like that, then if we keep hearing, then we will become qualified. So it's good to keep hearing. I mean, that's why we have so many books describing Krishna's pastimes and activities. But of course, we have to get the basics right and understand the Bhagavad Gita and the, you know, the beginning parts of the Srimad Bhagavatam. But even if we're not qualified to see Krishna or to understand Krishna's beauty or to enter into Krishna's pastimes, by hearing about them, we become attracted and we become purified. There's a good book written by Shiva Ramaswamy called Shuddha Bhakti Chintamani, which is recommended actually by Gopi Pranadana Prabhu. This is some time ago, he wrote that book, maybe 10 years ago. It's a really good introduction to qualification for hearing about Krishna's pastimes. But that's the bottom line, is that, you know, according to the Srimad Bhagavatam, if one doesn't get agitated, if one hears, then you become qualified. Maybe somebody else would like to comment on that. Yes, Prabhu.
Prabhupada gives the analogy of the green mango and the ripe mango. So it's the same mango. It's a mango. So the point is with bhakti, there's preliminary taste, and it's an upward spiral as one advances, that taste and attraction and appreciation of Krishna's beauty will more and more fully manifest. I think that's what Ramiya was getting at. You know, so there's, we get a sneak preview of what's up ahead.
Right.
You know, as we, and that sneak preview becomes more and more intensified as we advance.
Yeah.
But based on our qualification, then Krishna reveals himself based upon our surrender, level of our bhakti.
Okay. No ladies? All right, Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Chaitanya Charitamrita ki jai.